Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Brian here with Paul and Dave, and today we are ecstatic to be back in the world of Amazon Prime's The Boys, because we are talking the first three episodes of Gen V. And I know all three of us are excited for this one, but before we get into it, quick laundry items. Whatever feed you found this episode on, I want to reroute you now over to BingetownTV.com and our Bingetown TV main feed that will have all our episodes. We cover quite a few other shows at this point other than The Boys and Gen V. Currently, we are about to cover House of Usher over on Netflix. We are currently covering Wheel of Time, another Amazon Prime show. And Dave, you said we are covering Jujutsu Kaisen. So we got range is what I'm trying to say. And you can find it all on BingetownTV.com. Final thing I want to say, we also have a Discord community. So if you think we seem like cool people, want to talk to us about this TV show or other TV shows, go find us at our Bingetown TV Discord. All right, Gen V, we are back, boys. And the last thing I want to say is that this just felt very consistent with the quality that The Boys TV show, the parent television show, if you will, was giving. So from the start, I was like all in on this show, and I thought it was just very compelling through the first three episodes, and I was so upset that I couldn't hit play on episode four.
Oh, I missed being on The Boys. I think I was there for season one, maybe dropped a one episode appearance in season two, but God, this show, if you guys don't know, all of us are diehard The Boys fans. Like, this show for all of us is without a doubt in at least all of our top fives, you know, for all seven of us in the Bingetown universe. But it's so good to be back, man. The raunchiness, the goriness, I love it all in this show, and I'm so excited to be here talking about it again. It's good to be back, baby.
Hi, I'm Paul, for those of you who don't know my voice. This was incredible. I was very, very low expectations going into this because I didn't know what it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be college shenanigans, but the way that there's a big mystery about the whole thing really draws you in, and the characters themselves. So it was just such a good addition to The Boys show, like The Boys universe. If this continues, it could be insane. It's so entertaining to watch, and I love all the characters in it too. I think they're doing a really good job, and then, like you guys said, it feels like The Boys. Like, all the scenes, all the gore, all the craziness, all the nut talk and penis shots, like, it's totally The Boys.
I also appreciated all of the references to The Boys. Like, Ashley, the CEO, is still the CEO of Vought in the timeline of Gen V. You know, they referenced, spoiler alert for the next 5 seconds, Queen Maeve's quote-unquote death. Like, it's kind of just giving us a different perspective through the eyes of these college students of how the soups are perceived in this world. And I love it.
Paul, I'm with you. Like, I was a little bit nervous when they announced this show. Sometimes spinoff shows like this can sometimes be a total failure and make it really not feel like the original TV show, but this, I literally felt like it was just an added season of The Boys. Like, it literally just felt straight out of like season 3.5 of The Boys. And like you said, B-Times, I love that we're getting this kind of perspective of it. Like, we always get behind the scenes looks at it, and like, we know everything's kind of going to shit with the superheroes, but the way they do like the propaganda and everything, and we kind of are only exposed to that really in these first three episodes. It's just so cool. And it's honestly funny too when they do it, because it's just, we're sorry. We're sorry.
Didn't mean to slice your throat.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these three episodes, there was a lot in them. We're going to try to do our best to not make this an insanely long episode. So how this is going to go down is I'm going to read an executive summary of the episode itself. We'll cover one episode at a time. And then we will just all freeform, just kind of talk about parts we loved about that episode and how we were feeling watching it, etc. So jumping into episode one, this bullet list a little bit longer than the other two, just because we were getting an introduction to a lot of people. But let's see if I can get a good summary here. So we first meet Marie and learn about the first time she found out she had powers and the consequences of it. We flash forward. We see her life in the orphanage. And then we also see that she got accepted to Godalkin University. We learn it's a college for soups and whether they take classes on either like crime fighting or acting and branding courses. We meet her roommate, Emma, a.k.a. Cricket. We meet some other students. We meet Golden Boy, Luke. And at the
he was number one.
Yeah, he was a beast. Golden Boy Luke. We have our own Luke on the pod, and some might say he's a Golden Boy as well. So,
nah, I would never say
no.
That.
You never say that.
No, that guy is Bronze Central.
Yeah, yeah,
he's Bronze Central. Oh, man.
Rock.
He's the Bronze rock. Kneecaps, is what he is.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Golden Boy's workouts are the social event of the day, and we meet some other people here. We meet his girlfriend Kate, and we also meet his buddy Andre. We also learn a little bit later that Marie gets rejected from her crime fighting class, so then she goes and she meets Jordan, another one of the top rank, and Brink, the professor who kind of guides all of the superheroes. Marie and Andre end up helping capture an escaped student on meth. And we see this student get locked in a cell. And this is also where we learn what the woods are, because we did hear Luke referencing that earlier. He keeps having these dreams. Emma has a little date with a boy, Liam. We'll get into that later. And then Andre invites Marie to go to a club with Luke, Kate, Jordan, all the other high rankings. And unfortunately, while they're there, superheroes on drugs, not a good mix. Of course, a regular person's going to die. Marie ends up saving them, but there was cameras there. They saw everything. She's taking the hit. She's going to get expelled. Brink tells her this. She walks out. She realizes she's not taking the shit. She walks back in and she sees Luke burning Brink up. And then as Jordan fights off Luke and tries to defend Marie, in the end, the Golden Boy flies up in the air and explodes into a million pieces and rains down on everybody. And that is a classic way to end a boys episode. Just fake blood and gore everywhere.
Oh, man. It was just exactly like the opening scene. I'll start with Marie's backstory. Just absolutely brutal. I mean, definitely the boys feel all over it. It was Huey having A-Train run into his girlfriend all over again. The fact that so many people, like, what is the percentage of people that are just covered in blood? Like, the world's population, like, should be surprisingly high with people who have just been soaked in blood throughout this show.
Totally.
It's crazy. But her backstory was totally fucked up. Her powers are cool, but how she has to use them sucks. I mean, like, she physically has to cut herself. I feel like when we've seen like blood necromancers and in other shows and stuff, like they kind of just summon it through, like, I guess the pores in their skin, but she actually has to physically cut herself. It's not like a resourceful power, but totally fucked up, especially for her at 12 years old. For said later too, that she got her powers unlocked a little bit later than most people at the age of 12.
I can't even comment about what I think of her powers because we don't really know how they work entirely. And also, yeah, like, true. Supes don't really mind being cut open because they just heal right back up and don't really seem to. I also don't know, like, does she feel losing her own blood, or replenishing? So I can't comment more than that because we don't know what, like, her power is. But oh my gosh, what a devastating backstory. It really doesn't get much worse than that. And then that just kind of punts her along as an orphan in kind of the Vought system, which is also a very interesting take. This is our main character right here, and I like her. I like our MC so far.
Her training and the orphanage, like with all the old fans and equipment, and she's just throwing her blood everywhere. such a cool like visual of that because it's still like liquid, but it's like shards of blood at the same time. So it's really cool. And I will say at the end, she does seem kind of dizzy. Like she kind of like sits down, like she's tired, and you could say because she's training, but I was also taking it that she's losing a lot of her blood. So there is like a downside to her power. But when she's at the orphanage, she goes on to check whether or not she got accepted. You see, we got that little home banger cameo. They're watching that porno with that, home banger.
Yeah.
Let's that go.
And then she pulls up the listeners. Yeah, that was a home banger, was a very much loved character on our show.
She pulls out like the clean wipe and like wipes down the keyboard before touching it and everything. Mark. She makes a comment about it later. But I just love everything they're incorporating in this universe. They're making it like real things. Like in the background, you see, I don't even remember her name, but from the last season, the older woman that it was like Crimson Countess.
Crimson Countress.
Like shoot, there was posters of her in the background and everything too. It's just they're so consistent with it. It's great.
This is like part of the reason why The Boys is so great. It's just like the little Easter eggs are just so meaningful and like they do it so well. And yeah, seeing the Crimson Countess, even I can just be like, oh, like there she is. Like as just someone who, I mean, sure, we have a podcast, but like casual watchers can even just like appreciate.
What are your guys' thoughts on Emma, her roommate? Because I absolutely love Emma. She is like
so
the highlight
for her. I mean, yeah, she's amazing. And I love her scene, spoiler alert, with like episode 3 when she's talking with Sam. But I really love Emma as a character. I just feel like she's getting fucked every scene. I feel so bad for her. That whole penis scene was wild too.
Liam.
It must have been another just actual like penis that they had built because.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Just
you
a
saw
bunch
too.
Of-
there was like the details to the penis was actually wild, like some like small zits, there's like some small like thin hairs coming out of like a little bit far, it's still like crazy, it's wild.
They're not cowards in any sense of the word. They show everything the way that it probably is in real life, realistic, and how it would actually go down. Loved it. I loved that she just kept kicking him in the nuts too, like every second she was just like punching him a little bit extra harder. It was so good. And Liam, man, that actor, god, I feel bad for
that's
when he gets into the office and he reads his script, he's like, what do I really have to say this shit? Is this the biggest dick you've ever seen? Say it.
But
she's
overall
like, whatever, I think it is. She's
overall,
great. I fucking
love
Emma.
Yeah, I loved a lot of these characters, honestly. Like the only ones I really didn't like were like we were meant to hate, you know, like I obviously don't like the Dean. Brinks was a dick, but like every of the main characters that we met, like Andre, Kate, I loved every single one of them. Even Luke, even though he was like kind of had that crazy moment towards the end, I thought all of them were amazing.
Luke is like super likable too. He has a moment with Marie later this episode where Marie finally does go out with all like the top rankers and they're kind of like on that scaffolding and Luke goes over to just talk to her and kind of console her. That was the first time she really opened up and told the truth about her parents. And then Luke says, you know, I had a brother too. And he even confides a little bit in her. So he was like a super nice guy. He was always smiling and super welcoming for being like the number one golden boy. I'm just expecting like a prick.
Like I was the Gara same way, Paul.
Or like something like that.
No, I feel like The Boys is always like the stronger characters. I felt like in The Boys have always been more of like dicks, like obviously Homelander's like the peak of that. And I was just kind of also under the assumption that Golden Boy was going to be just corrupted dickhead as well. But this scene
I saw some Homelander ticks in Golden Boy. But I mean, I'm not sure how long he would have lasted as the Golden Boy.
No, you're right. Sure. You're absolutely right. But like it's kind of like the same situation as Homelander. Like he was raised like in the woods. Well, I mean, obviously Homelander wasn't raised in the woods particularly, but like him specifically had a fucked childhood, and that's just going to lead him down a dark path eventually when he has all these enemies, you know.
So I'm sorry, who were you saying was
Luke?
Luke was not raised in the woods.
Was he not? I thought they said he came from the woods.
Okay, so I guess we can talk about that. I thought we were led to believe that Luke was not aware of the woods and he was lied to that his brother committed suicide in Red River and then was secretly moved into the woods. So I don't think Luke was privy to the existence of the woods until the end, which is why he immediately confronted Brink with the hug of death. I don't know what you want to call that, but no, that was an awesome scene.
Yeah, no. Paul?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I didn't know how to take it because it seems like they had so many different scenes with Luke going in to talk to Sam in that cell, and it was kind of hard to really know what was going on because Luke, you know, first episode he's talking, oh, I had these dreams about these random woods again. I don't know what that means. He really did kind of seem oblivious to it, but then all of a sudden he gets called to help calm Sam down in that one scene later on. So it's really confusing. I kind of like the flashbacks that we keep getting of him and how they're revealing more and more of the story. So hopefully I love his actor. So hopefully we get more of him.
So just for clarity, a lot of those, like when he was talking Sam down, when he was having that spaz out, he was at Red River facility then, which Luke was aware. Oh, he was being there for his schizophrenia, I believe. Right. So it was still under wraps, but he was unstable. So they would, you know, let Luke go there, but then they lied to him. Thus the flashback of him crying, asking Kate to
that makes sense.
You know what I'm saying? So don't think he knew about the woods until he went crazy in the end.
That makes sense.
Okay. No, yeah. I'm with you now. I was not getting that, but that does really make a lot because there were so many scenes where Luke was like, yeah, I had a brother, or like, you know, he thought he really did lose his brother and he was genuinely sad. So that clears that up. But him ripping off that dude's arms during practice, I was like, holy shit, did he just kill a student? And all of a sudden they like reattach or whatever, because I guess that's that dude's powers, which it was crazy looking, but it was really cool at the same time. And like, again, good guy Luke, he was like, hey man, good job, good fight out there today.
You'll get me next time, dude. Yeah. Whoever the two were that were just casually bringing his arms back to his body, like laughing, chuckling to each other.
I thought he legitimately ripped his arms off and everyone in the stands was like clapping. I was like, okay, this is dark. And then they reattached the arms. I was like, okay, we're good here. We're good here.
Golden Boy fighting was awesome. I will say that.
And Emma talking about him, she was like, yeah, this is a social event. And like, I heard when he flames on, his clothes don't stay, so you can see his uncut like meat, like he's uncut because
my mouth on that.
Yeah. Oh my god, I love Emma. Oh god, yeah, she's great.
She was cracking me up. Yeah, her power sucks. I mean, she has to vomit to get small and then eat food to get normal size, and like, of course her overbearing mother is like, you look 1 or 2 inches shorter, shut up mom.
But the mom is so similar to Starlight's mom from
all the parents. Man, all the parents are like the absolute worst human beings.
Well, you got to remember, all the parents made the decision to shoot them as a baby full of Compound V, so it makes sense they would.
They're just like, let's continue pageant, to be horrible pageant moms and parents.
So let me ask this question then. So Andre's dad obviously was Polarity and was a superpower. So are we to believe that Andre was like he was born a soup rather than given V?
That's what I don't know, actually. I really don't know. Maybe they both were shot up with V and maybe they both got the same power.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that a storyline from The Boys that like Ryan was the first natural born soup? I don't think soups can be born like that.
Yeah.
Commonly.
Yeah.
So I think Polarity would have decided to shoot Andre up with V.
Yeah, probably Polarity was shot up when he was a kid, and then he shot up his son, I guess.
Okay.
When he was a kid as well.
All right, that makes sense. But yeah, Polarity, I guess, the father is just a dick. Like, Polarity knows about all this stuff and then is still forcing his son to just like succumb to everything and just go through it all. And it's like, and he keeps saying, like, I'm doing this for you. And it's like, you're not. You're not. But
caught up in the system.
We're getting a little ahead of ourselves with that relationship, but my comment on Andre is I love Andre too. He was honestly a great character for me. Him and Jordan were my two personal favorites, to be honest. I just think Andre, like, his powers are really cool. I think he's just telekinetic. Yeah. Right. Is that what it is?
Some things I've read is that it's metal.
He's like a metal bender.
Like kind of Magneto, I guess.
I mean, his name's Polarity.
I'm not exactly sure.
His name's Polarity, so I guess that would be like magnetism and stuff like that.
His power's sweet.
maybe it is just metal. It's hard to tell. I'm trying to think back and everything that he touched and moved. Oh, the first one that we saw really was when we saw this student running away, and he had, you know, the uniform on, like he was coming from a hospital, and we saw Andre like pull the dumpster. So again, mm-hmm. that was metal. So right. it checks out. And Marie also got involved.
Oh, and the coin. So yeah, it's totally metal because that's obviously what it was. Yeah. The bird that he kills yeah. the woman with was the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about out. That scene too, because yep. that's just classic boys. I really didn't think that they didn't like seem that fucked up to me. It just was an honest mistake, but it's just they always are on these drugs, and it just yeah. paints them in a worse light. Like, I genuinely think Andre was like a good person. He didn't seem, I mean, he was definitely drunk, like when he's going over to the girl and stuff, but that wasn't like the drugs didn't cause him to mishap. That was the person bumping into him. I'm not trying to like paint him to be this good guy, but I'm just saying, like,
end of the day, the overarching issue is like the trivialness with which Supes
yeah just use their powers
yeah. around regular humans, because mm-hmm. there's gonna be collateral damage, especially if you're like getting fucked up while you're using your powers.
But I was hyped that Marie was actually able to find some like good and resourcefulness with her powers when the girl was bleeding out, because like we had said
rolling.
Before
Yeah, rolling on Molly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she did it while rolling on Molly. So good for her for unlocking that part of it. But I genuinely, we had only seen her really use it in like not very good manners, and it like,
and her blood too.
Yeah. And it's her blood. So it was cool seeing this aspect of it.
That's a lie, I guess. I'm thinking in the opening scene, she uses her blood to kill her mom, but then her mom's blood killed the dad as well, too. So.
But I loved seeing her light up with how she felt like she was actually for once doing some good. So that was like a touching moment for me. But it sucked that the consequences were that she had to get, quote unquote, thrown under the bus.
I was going to take us to Brink, because I haven't really talked about Brink. And that was a crazy scene. Brink obviously being the professor who has been molding both Jordan and Golden Boy, grooming them to go into the Seven. Him just like being like, oh, you did a great job. Sometimes being a hero is about sacrifice, Marie. And then he just drops the boot and you're the one that's going to have to sacrifice here.
Yeah.
Even though you saved the life, I can't let the public know that our star children just ran away when someone was bleeding out. So you understand. It felt very Ashley or Stillwell, like talking to the deep at Vault Tower.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. 100%. Everyone's corrupt.
It's crazy. Like, I did not see it coming at all. His delivery was so deadpan. Like, his tone didn't shift when he was like, and that's why you're going to be expelled. Yeah, that was crazy. And Jordan, whenever they switch between the guy and girl, it's so cool. It's just a really cool concept. And I think this opening scene with Brink coming out and shooting him was they originally the girl, and then he pulled the gun out to shoot, because I think the guy is more defensive. Like when Jordan was fighting Luke at the end of this, every time Luke attacked, Jordan would go to the guy form to take the punches and he could like really tank it. And then they would swap to the female version, and then she would have like the offensive, like projectiles and shit like that. So I think she was like the offensive one.
You're so smart. I did not catch on to that. I was like, I genuinely thought it was like, just anytime they took damage or like an absurd amount of damage, it caused them to switch. But you're absolutely right. When I'm thinking back on the fight, mm-hmm. it was defensive was the male, and then the female was the one kicking at. Dude, that power was so cool. Yeah. I loved Jordan. Jordan was like one of my favorites.
I don't know. Yeah. Anybody watches Hell's Paradise 2 or reads it, you kind of get into that a little bit, which is crazy. But I think that was the whole point of Brink coming out with the gun and then pulling the trigger. And he's, whoa, look at that quick draw, because Jordan switched from the female to male version to take the bullet shot. If they didn't, I guess Brink would have just fucking killed the student, but whatever. So. He's a crazy motherfucker.
They're keeping Jordan.
Just pull it out. It would just like sting a little bit.
No, he was keeping Jordan, you know, a little on their toes a little bit, just testing them still.
I agree, though. Very cool power that they have.
I feel bad for Jordan, though, because obviously we know Brink's to be behind the scenes some crazy scientist who's probably corrupt in some way. And I just feel like Jordan is so genuine and like is just trying to do their best and like looks up to Brinks, but I feel like they're going to find out very soon that Brinks was not a good person. They're going to have to make some like very desperate decision on whether they want to, you know, keep respecting Brinks or saving the ones that they're, you know, their friends, basically.
What do you don't matter now because he's dead.
Yeah, that's true. He's fried up. What did you guys think of Kate and her power? She's
so badass.
OP. OP. You ever watch Vampire Diaries? That's compulsion. It is the best power ever. Like, it's so practical. She just touched the bartenders. Like, give me the best bottle of vodka you have just because her friend's having a bad day.
And I think it was
amazing.
Translucent vodka is what they gave.
Oh, was it? That is a good touch. I think it's just so funny how they constantly are just like, they have to make everything like super related. It's like when Jordan was a kid, they smacked another person over the head with a noir lunchbox. Like, they couldn't just say lunchbox. Like, it had to be black noir lunchbox, you know?
I would kill for a mocha noir right now.
Yeah, mocha noir.
Oh, also, Whataburger sounds banging.
Yeah, yeah. Whataburger. I'd have one. I'd have a burger.
Dude, how about fucking, what is it, Harper? The one random girl that just keeps popping up. And she's like asking for a selfie. And Andre and Marie were kind of like getting into it for a second. And Marie like walks off and Harper like slaps the one girl with the tail. Maybe Harper has a tail. I can't remember. But she's just like slapped. She's like, ah, you're such a cunt, Harper. She's like, you guys, that's exactly what they sound like. That's exactly what Bess, me and my friends sound like sometimes to each other, especially at college. I was just cracking up that they had that in there because it was so funny.
The social media aspect is definitely like, if there was a soup college, like social media already is dominant in just like regular people's school. I feel like even at soup college, like that shit would be rampant because they're all like, they're trying to do here. They're trying to boost themselves, their egos, their numbers, and get a bigger following of support so they can just endorse themselves over. So some people might find it annoying, I guess, the overexposed like amount that they're showing with the social media. I think it is a realistic part of the show, to be honest.
And kind of going along with that, how do you guys feel about the ranking system, which is
part of the algorithm
is your social media presence, for lack of a better term. But I love the rankings. Honestly, you're in the top 10. Golden Boy was just like living at number one. Like he dies, it shakes stuff up. I love the rankings.
It feels like a fucking anime, man. Yeah, it feels it's so good. And it's such a cool aspect to it of how the people perceive you, because that's why Marie is in there, because she's killing Twitter right now. That was not because she's super good with her powers like Golden Boy. It's because everybody loves her. So
it's really so realistic cool because I mean, if I went to that school, I would 100% be aiming for the number one spot. Like, catch me trying to definitely be in the top 10.
Yeah, I get me try harder. They didn't.
Yeah, I would totally be try harding in there.
Dude. Okay. So I think the last thing about this episode that I just needed to talk about was Golden Boy's going off. Jordan's there to fight him. And the slow motion fiery dick punch was absolute money. And Luke's grimacing face afterwards, too. I just love this show so much.
I thought that was going to be his one glaring weakness, was like his exposed penis. And like Jordan had found it. And I was like, yeah, we're going to swing things in our favor now.
Yeah. Peel back the foreskin and hit him right where it hurts.
That fight scene was great, though. I think Jordan did a great job of displaying their power to being able to go up against toe-to-toe with number one. Sucks that they obviously didn't get the credit, but I thought we got some great choreographed fights here from the boys, as always. And the ending scene, I was just sitting there with my jaw open. Like, I just thought he was going to fly off for a second. I didn't really think he was going to kill himself. And when he blew himself up, I was just, of course, just immediately next episode going right into it.
I thought he was going to fly into the sun, honestly.
Icarus.
Yeah.
And a good showing for Andre being the one to talk him down off the rampage and make him just like realize, nah, at this point, I just gotta take care of myself there. But the words that came out of his mouth were really good.
And then he also gave the final message, your dad has it.
Right.
Which was very cryptic, of course, for us at the time.
Just a little thing when Brinks is telling Luke that he's going to be in the Seven. He's like, would you take Maeve's or Starlight's old room? It's just cool. Again, cool little detail wrapping in the old seasons into it. And just kind of the whole drafting process too, like A-Train, the opening scene, A-Train getting drafted from Godolkin into the seven.
Cool.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to thank God and his powers above. Bless me. I was cracking up.
It's funny too, because they had like cities below the draft board too. It was like you could see like ATL, Philly was on there. Like it was pretty fun. It was like a legitimate draft. I was like, this is great.
Well, I think someone mentioned that, like, you know, 90% of the soups at the university don't amount to much and are just moneymakers for Vault. But someone said you're chasing like the five city charters. So those might have been like the cities that were drafting to be like city guardians. And that's then the sick. Seven is the big ticket item.
It's the 101, baby. If you're the 101 off the board, you're automatically in the seven.
It's like when Deep got rerouted to Ohio. And it was last in the draft, pretty much. Like, that's not where you want to be.
So pretty much Golden Boy would have been Bijan Robinson.
Pretty much, yeah. Do you think they have fantasy soups?
Oh, like, I'd be all over that.
Fantasy Vault or whatever.
Fantasy Vault leagues, that'd be awesome.
I don't even know what it would be, but that would be cool. Yeah. Anything else in episode one before I give the episode two summary real quick?
Nope.
Give it here, Malfoy.
Give it here, Malfoy. Good one, Crab. All right, episode two. We get Ashley in the very beginning, which is awesome. She's ripping into Dean Shetty. And Dean Shetty's like, you know, how many suicides did I have when, you know, V?
They found out Compound V was from the parents.
I was just cracking. Come on, like, I barely had any suicides. Just a wild.
You have one now.
Had one today.
All right. And then we get other aftermath of the whole Golden Boy incident, including Marie skyrocketing to be ranked number 8 in the university, first freshman to be in the top 10. This actually got her a big interview going forward. We have a vigil for Brink. Marie and Andre are now viewed as the heroes who saved everyone from Luke. And they didn't include Jordan in all this at all. And the reasoning was because places like Texas and Fort Lauderdale, Florida won't be cool with the gender swapping soup. And it's just
fucked up, but it's real.
It's fucked up. But yeah, it's like people will not watch just because they don't like that one aspect. And Vault's all about making money. Andre reveals that Luke whispered something to him, like Dave was just talking about at the very end, and later finds a phone in the statue of his dad going right into his junk. Emma has an acting class assignment, which leads to her biggest secret about her power coming out to the entire school. We were talking about that. She has to purge in order to shrink. Shetty is now acting as Marie's therapist, and eventually they go to the interview. Shetty is kind of there as backup, and Marie follows the script that they gave her. Exactly. She doesn't go off the wall.
Yeah, she lost brownie points for me there. Yeah. Awesome points.
The very end of this is Andre bails on the interview and goes to Brink's office instead. He ends up barely not getting caught by these armored soldiers going in to clean out Brink's office. The same thing they did to Luke. They cleaned out Luke's dorm. And as he follows them, they see that they kill a janitor brutally just because the janitor caught him. They were about to die. Andre was about to die because they had that soup special hearing, and that they have that device that really just takes them down and incapacitates them. There you go. I got it. Kate at the very end comes in to save, and Kate, I love that Kate doesn't do something simple. She's like, you're gonna get your flashlight, you're gonna go up to that guy, get him to suck on it, and then you're gonna, like, she's I love her. I love that she does that too. She takes the time.
Yeah,
I believe she called it a chocolate starfish.
Oh yeah. That is the medical definition, I'm pretty sure, of the beehole.
B-Zombs can't confirm.
Yeah. But we also get the downside of her power again. She calls it pushing instead of compulsion or pelling. She calls it pushing. And she ended up having a seizure at the very end here. Again, thank God they released 3 episodes, because I had to know.
Yeah, I was, again, fully just into the show at this point. I mean, I watched all 3 and then, like, back to back to back. Absolutely, with no regrets. Loved every second of it. Just wish we had episode 4, but can't be too greedy. But another solid overall episode. A lot to cover here, I guess. The first one I guess I'll bring up is, like I kind of just hinted at, is Marie definitely lost some brownie points for me by taking all the credit at the end there. I was really hoping she would have given my girl/boy Jordan some love there, but did not do that. So Marie took a little bit of a hit in my polls a little bit. So wasn't crazy about her.
She had a good response to Jordan saying like, hey, you rejected me and all that shit, and this is your fault. All right. I'm just taking what they give me and, you know, trying to make a name.
Yeah.
It kind of sounded like she was planning on telling the truth, too. And then Haley Miller blindsided her with the question about her sister, that they reached out for comment and she said she wanted nothing to do with her. And then that seemed to just flip the switch. Well, it took like 45 seconds, but eventually she decided, follow the script. I got nobody to lean on but myself. And she kind of explains herself in episode 3. So I don't think she lost that much.
Who do you think was lying? Do you think Haley was lying about bringing up the sister thing, or do you think it was Shetty lying to Marie about it?
I think Shetty was lying just to derail
her. So you do think the sister actually just doesn't want anything to do with her? Which would make sense to me. We didn't even reference that, but the sister is alive. She was the one that saw Marie kill the parents back in the day, and they got separated, and obviously Annabeth. She wants nothing to do with her. What's her name?
Annabeth, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where I'm leaning, but what I will say is I don't really trust Shetty at all.
No, definitely not.
If Annabeth, do you think she got shot up with V2 and maybe she's just a late bloomer? So there's a chance. I was thinking maybe Annabeth is stuck in the woods or something and getting tested on.
Oh, my God. Paul that with the theories. Theory, Paul with the theories always. Love it. And then that I just cool. me agreeing with you again.
You convinced me.
Yeah.
I thought the opening to this with Ashley just ripping into Shetty and was like, I have $45 million worth of Golden Boy merch. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this now? And then talking about Marie polling well. And they were talking about how Marie is so perfectly imperfect that everybody can like her and enjoy her. So it's just all, again, branding.
My last comment on Haley is that I thought she looked identical to Starlight. Did you guys think that, too? I thought her and Erin Moriarty looked so similar. She's like an older version of her.
Not really.
I was not thinking
I guess.
That.
Okay. I'm crazy then.
Also, Ashley was like, is the woods to blame for this? So Ashley knows about the woods, and it's just like a big vault thing, I guess.
I want to go back to Kate's power again, because you brought up the last scene, but there's another scene here at the memorial where she has Rufus go to take a baseball bat to his nuts every single day and yell out Jumanji. Just again, you're right, Paul. The way she uses her powers is so fucked up, but it's just so it's creative. At the end of the day, it's fucking creative.
It's phenomenal. It's always entertaining. And I always love how the person's like, all right, yeah, sweet, I'll do that. And they're like happy about it too.
Yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Because when the guard shows up at the very end too, and she's talking about it, I'm like, what is this woman guard talking about? And then Kate slides in and just touches the guy. I'm like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
I had absolutely no idea what was going on, but they really killed it. We also got a short list of the top 10 number ranked in the school. Mm-hmm. We see that Marie got 8, but going down from number 1, we had Andre as number 1. And I'm just going to rattle off some names that don't really mean anything right now, but just something to look out for. We had Mason Finister, Tyler Oppenheimer, which is just funny because of
great movie. Great movie.
Vanessa Haycraft the 3rd, Jordan Lee dropped down to 5, Kyle Crowler at 6, Steve McLeese, Marie Monroe at 8, Alexis Gorsh, and then Rich Smith at 10. So just some names to look out for.
If you guys didn't get that far in My Hero Academia, but they have a ranking system at the school there, and the number 1 at My Hero Academia is just like the man too. So and when they were doing this ranking system, I just couldn't help but think of that.
Andre, big boy number 1. And how about him looking at the rankings and then just reaching for the bong? Like, it's just too much to handle.
But it's weird because I feel like, so he's shown that he and has said that he doesn't want it, but I feel like someone had mentioned to him, maybe it was his father or like another friend who was like, deep down, or it was Jordan, I'm pretty sure, at one point says, like, deep down, you really wanted this. Like, what do you guys think?
It was a Kate. Deep down, there's a hero in there. I mean, I think in this instance in particular, he's realizing he is ascending to number 1 because Golden Boy just blew up in the air. So, like, he can't accept that fact and, like, celebrate it without acknowledging that. So he's like, kind of fuck this. It doesn't really feel like I thought it was supposed to be.
And as we know, that was like his really good friend as well, too. Yeah, so absolutely. Definitely hard to take. Is this reading too much into it? But Andre, when he was reaching for the bong, he also reached for his white lighter, Is that foreshadowing?
He's fucking cursed. No way. Was it actually a white lighter?
It was a purely just white lighter.
That's so funny. And of course you would notice that too.
I don't know if that's foreshadowing, but white lighters are bad luck. So he might die later. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. If anyone hasn't heard the white lighter theory, Bob Marley, all these crazy like
Kurt Cobain.
I think Kurt Cobain had a white lighter. So yeah. Just if you guys haven't heard that theory before. What else do I have here? Just again, parents just being dicks. Polarity, not a fan of him.
What is this dude on crutches? What is his name?
Oh, it's literally Social Media Jeff. Like, that's what it is on Amazon.
So funny, man. He sees Marie and he's like, yes, queen. Like, do your thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know. He's so awkward, but like trying to be like progressive. And
he's just someone exactly who I would picture would be the social media like advisor of the school. Like, he that is just exactly what I would imagine them to be. Like, he was really funny. And then I think his name in the show is Adam Work in the acting class.
The glasses. He was the director.
The best.
So funny. He's like, how the fuck did I get here?
Yeah. He's like, get my car immediately. Is this my coffee? Run. Like, I need to get out of here. But and what did he do? He got fired because he showed his dick to somebody.
Yeah, he flashed it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That was amazing. Well, we had so many good names too, like Courtney Fortney. Was that her fucking name? Like the one?
I think it was. Yeah.
Does she have clothes? Oh, she's got it going. Okay, get the rack. Courtney Fortney and Social Media Jeff together are just phenomenal.
Yeah, perfect.
And then we also learned about like the whole interview is like a script, and you know, there's it goes in line with everything that Starlight realized when she got to that level. Like everything is a joke.
The one thing. Of course, Emma, in this episode, I think this is where she gets fucked over by Justine with the reveal of like how she actually gets small. And again, I'm just feeling bad for Emma, man.
She was getting all those hate comments on her YouTube videos, you know, last episode before Liam texted her and like all that shit and getting to sad. And then Liam rejects her right here for some other girl. So that was all fucked up. Yeah, I just feel horrible for Emma, and I love the fact that she like loves Queen Maeve. She wants to do Queen Maeve scenes. Like, she has a Queen Maeve sticker on her bong. Mm-hmm. She like idolizes her, and it's weird because we know Queen Maeve from like the real Queen Maeve's perspective, and sometimes we forget like the people actually do really love them and put them in that light.
So this girl, Justine, who winds up spilling the beans about the truth behind her power, I don't know if I hate her or not, because I can't tell if she's just dumb and really didn't know that she was like spilling a secret.
I think it's one of those.
She did have like a genuine heart to heart with her and was being a good friend. And it didn't seem like she was just leveraging all that to attain a secret so she could put it out. Like, I think she is just an idiot. It was just like, oh, I thought I was sharing your experience.
I think she's just socially just, like oblivious to things. Like, I kind of agree with you. Like, I still hate her. I'm like on Paul's team. I still hate her. But at the end of the day, I think she genuinely was trying to apologize to her. But this is just like in as the old people would say, like this generation only cares about, you know, social media and stuff. And so she was probably just so engulfed in social media that she just was just her way of apologizing. But I hate her
so
I hate her, but I think she genuinely was trying.
Emma goes in to confront her about it, and she's like, you're being really intense about this and dramatic. It's like, dude, shut the fuck up.
Could you describe to me what she was doing when Emma confronted her?
She was the cameraman for Emma's social post of her licking the tip of her tail. She was like, yeah, just go for it. Come on. It's just so weird. But yeah, I mean, you're going to get views if you fucking post that. So of course they would.
So weird.
Also, like, we got the news report about like the parents are hiding in their house. But what are they hiding from? What happened in that house to raise a killer? And it's like, dude, of course, like it's just how the news portrays everything and how they can twist everything to just, of course, their son died. They don't want to talk to anybody in the news. Like, it's ridiculous.
There is the therapy session we could talk about. I feel like that's significant.
Yeah. Yeah. Shetty is really just trying to be this person that pushes Marie and like gets her to be the perfect soup for the spotlight, but is also, I don't know if she's like manipulating her and like only getting her to realize the things that would benefit Shetty. But it honestly did seem like there was some relationship there, because they went and shared like a few meals together and everything.
Is this the episode she mentions she has a dead daughter?
That's the beginning of next episode, but if you want to mention your comment now with it.
Well, yeah, that's really all we know at this point, but it can't be nothing. I mean, that has to come into play at some point, and maybe that's part of why she's taking such an interest in Marie. It seems a little odd, though.
I feel like she's definitely going to be a victim, in the sense that I feel like she maybe gave her kid V, it didn't work out for their kid, and now she's trying to like compensate by like adopting other people and controlling them to make herself feel better about, you know, what she did to her child, I guess, potentially. That's just a long shot of a theory. We have no idea of anything about her, but...
Side note, I am dying to see Victoria Newman's kid that she shot up with V.
Oh, my God, yeah. Can't wait.
And side note.
Yeah, I'm still hoping she got a shitty power. Like, diabolical.
Diabolical, yeah.
They did have the one where it was all the super rejects that had the shitty powers, and the orphanage, because they all killed their parents.
Yeah.
And then, you know, fast forward to Marie, that's an actual thing. Like, these soups, orphan soups, are actually there. So, yeah, I mean, the brutality that these armored guards just killed the janitor with at the very end. Like, do we assume it's like Dulcan, it's Vought, or is Vought not involved? Like, I don't know.
We know Vought's involved because Ashley confirmed it. So, I think Vought has to be very involved with Godolkin University in general, I think.
I think it's mainly like the hierarchy, like the top people at Godolkin probably know what's going on behind the scenes, but there are probably like a majority of the professors, I would say, probably don't know what's happening. The dean is obviously aware of what's going on because she does visit Sam, we see.
Yeah, and that's a horrible visit. I mean, it ends with them just literally nailing something through Sam's spine, and she just kind of diabolically says, every time you try to leave, you hurt yourself.
So fucked up. Yeah, she's not shitty. A fan of her. She's definitely, I love to hate on her. Her actor is definitely killing it.
Yeah, and then the only other thing that we kind of glossed over was Andre going to his dad's statue, getting the phone that Golden Boy left him, of course, right in his dad's junk. Mm-hmm. It couldn't have been anywhere else, like his knee or his thigh. It had to be his junk.
Freudian.
Yeah. Oh, that was Kate. Kate really is funny. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
We see that. Oh, it was the video of Luke confessing. Yes. If you see this, things went sideways. I needed to do what it was. Blah,
my
blah,
brother's
blah.
Alive, all that stuff.
Which really caused him to go and search into Prink's office.
Yeah. And Andre is obviously, he's having internal struggle of whether he wants to follow through with this or just follow his dad and just, you know, just ignore all this. But of course, he wants to be a hero. We've seen that. And he says that multiple times. And it's another reason why I love Andre so much, is like, we can tell he's a genuine person. And so he's right now choosing to follow and redeem Golden Boy over his career path of becoming potentially number one and in the seven.
Yeah, I thought that the scene where he's searching Brink's office was great. I was not expecting the guards to come in right at that second. And that kind of, we already talked about the scene where Kate bails him out from the hearing
contraption
that the guards
had.
Yeah, whatever it was. I can't think of words. But another cliffhanger to this episode was Kate passes out from using her power, and I was like, there is no way they are killing off Kate when she just saved the day.
I know.
But luckily I could press play on episode 3. Thank you, Amazon, for giving us the first 3 episodes. You know, that is a really good format, the dump 3 episodes and then week to week. I like it.
It also works well for our podcasting format too.
It really does.
Yeah, get us hooked and then keep us coming back weekly. It's a good formula.
Yeah.
So if we are done with episode 2, jumping into the quick summary of episode 3, we got a flashback of Luke checking in on Sam. Kate was there, ends up being Kate's dream slash memory, which causes her to wake up, and Andre is there, who's taking care of her. Somehow this leads to them banging, which this is Luke's best friend and Luke's girlfriend banging like 2 days after they died.
Emotions were flaring. You know, this happens in shows.
There's chemistry there too.
There is. I mean, it's definitely a little too soon. I would agree with you definitely, but there is chemistry.
Marie and Shetty are sharing even more meals together, and they're getting closer and closer. They decide to go to Brink's fundraiser together. We'd learn a bit more about Andre's dad, aka Polarity, here, and how much he really is pushing for Andre. Students of parents are coming to visit for the fundraiser, including Jordan's parents and Emma's mom. A lot happens at the fundraiser, with plenty revealed, including that Emma and her mom don't have the best relationship. Her mom's pushing her in a direction she doesn't want to go.
Classic.
Same with Jordan and their father. And we also learned that Shetty has been using Marie to get donations and funding. So Marie does feel used. Andre tells his dad everything that's going on and the mention of the woods. Polarity tells him to be quiet, never speak of it. So he does know of it. Marie ends up revealing the truth behind her parents to Jordan and Kate. And finally, Andre recruits Emma to try and scout out Sam's location in the woods, which she successfully does. And she makes a plan with Sam before the alarm goes off and fully armored guards come in. So I think just because of how each episode is better than the one previous, episode 3 was my favorite. I thought there was so much going on here. I loved this one.
I mean, the opening was great. We get the flashback, like you said, and Sam gets tased, doesn't like that too much, punches him right through the gut and through his mouth. And I'm just sitting there like, I love this content, baby. I fucking love this show.
Emily just walks in. She's like, what are you watching? I'm like, oh, it's Gen V. It's like, you know, the same universe as The Boys. And that happened. And she was like, yep, this is definitely The Boys. This is definitely The Boys show.
And of course, like, they give it a second to have screen time to just have this lifeless bodyguard with just a fist coming out of his mouth. And it's just the corpse. And I'm just, it's like, why are you doing this to me? You're hurting my eyes, but it's so great. I love it.
The Boys has always done a good job of just getting right to the action and then not holding any punches. And through 3 episodes of Gen V, that's what they've been doing. But definitely this episode had a couple of those just iconic The Boys type moments. I mean, not to spoil the end, but Emma crawling through that guy's ears was just absurd. Insane.
Speaking of, you know, crazy iconic Boys moments, we got Sam in this flashback walking past the door. Of course, the most recognizable love sausage poking out the window, that huge rope that he calls part of his body.
He is the most recognizable penis in television history.
I would say yes.
That's something to be proud of too, love sausage, if you're
closely
hearing this.
Closely followed up by Golden Boy and his glowing member.
It's close. So many penises to talk about, but
I love The Boys because of all the dicks, man. they don't show, or they don't hide away from anything.
There's so much to talk about, I feel like, in The Banquet, because we get like the introduction to all the parents, and again, just gonna shit on all of them. They're all terrible people. Like Jordan Lee's father just refuses to identify Jordan as both male and female, just only sees him as his son. So stubborn. And then Emma's mom just forcing her to just come out and just do an entire TV show about her quote unquote eating disorder, which to her is not an eating disorder. It's literally her power. So why do people keep I just feel so bad.
It's like, I want real pain, you know, I want real emotion. And Emma's like, why can't it be inspirational? And they're like, nah, fuck that. It's your eating disorder. It's not your superpower.
Nope. Can't be
in
painted
the real
in a nice
world,
light.
Everyone uses everybody.
Yeah. Thanks, mom.
Yeah. What great advice. Thanks.
Emma storms off and says, my mom's the one that taught me how to purge, and then storms off. And Courtney's like, oh, this is fantastic. Yeah. You're gonna have to get another room for all the awards we're gonna win.
Yeah,
that's like a prime example of like how in this show any negative that happens to anybody, like people just immediately are so quick to just make it, like just take advantage of it and just jump on the opportunity to spin it in their own way. It's just so fucked up. Jordan getting caught fucking like while her parents are like right at the door and the guy just phases through the wall. Like, what a great hookup buddy that would be to just walk right through the door and you could just fuck him at any moment.
That was so funny. She was like, if the new rankings come out and she's higher than me, hold on, I'm gonna come. Okay,
I'm gonna be and so then pissed. Right, I'm gonna be so pissed.
It was so funny. And he's like, I didn't finish. And she's like, shut the fuck up, get out of there. One other small thing about the fundraiser, I thought it was so funny how difficult it was to pick a color for the ribbon. And they were like naming everything, and social media Jeff was just like, no, it's this
anal
and this
cancer.
Yeah. And they finally ended up going with like blue with like an orange stripe going through.
Yeah.
It was great.
Guess that was something unique.
Okay. We already talked about this earlier, but this is when Shetty reveals to Marie that, like whatever that reporter said to you probably wasn't even true. We're kind of on the same page here that Shetty is just making this up to distract Marie. I mean, there's a chance they really don't know where Annabeth is, but I think they do. I think she's in the woods.
I think you're so good at just implanting these theories in my head. I'm just like, yes, because that just would make so much sense, because like everyone knows about her sister. Like, this wasn't like private information anymore. Like, to her, like, she didn't think anyone really knew about it. Brinks obviously was one of the first ones to like bring it up. Like, that kind of threw her off. She's like, how do you know about this kind of thing? And now Shetty's doing the same thing. Like, and she's like smirking when she's bringing it up. Evil.
I'm like 95% sure she knows about Annabeth and where she is. I'm like 15% that she's in the woods.
Yeah.
She doesn't feel like a soup to me, because I feel like the reason Marie's powers manifested when she was 12 was because they were linked to her puberty, obvious for, you know, obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. So the only reason that similar thing would happen with the younger sister is if she had the same power, which I guess is possible. But my read on the situation is that she's not a soup. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, Paul. I'm this theory.
It does make sense that she wouldn't be a soup, too, just because, like, if she doesn't want anything to do with her sister, like, she would be more understanding, I feel like, of her sister killing the parents if she was a soup, like, knowing the responsibilities that it comes with having these powers kind of thing. And I feel like she would be more willing to reach out to her if she did have power. So I'm kind of supporting you a little bit, B-Toms, but I do obviously love the theory, Paul. I still think there's obviously room for that theory to come through.
Absolutely. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Well, we also got the loser popular girl coming up to Emma to apologize for leaking her secret, but then she's filming it because she's like, yeah, I want everybody to know how sorry I am.
And again, like, I think it's more of her like social ineptitude to not like read the room kind of thing.
I forgot about this scene. This was a very bad look for her that she was filming.
But I still feel like it was genuine though. Like, it still felt genuine, but I'm still going to say she's a dick. Yeah, she's still
not to me, but I could be wrong. She really could just be like completely oblivious.
We also haven't seen her powers yet, correct?
Maybe her powers are that she is successful for how stupid she is. She's just very lucky.
Yeah, it's possible.
All right.
Put it on the board.
We got that. I really, 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 really like Kate because of this flashback with Golden Boy. When Luke just finds out about his brother, he thinks his brother committed suicide, and he tells Kate, just like, tell me to feel better, like, I don't want to feel like this. And Kate looks at him and says, like, I think this is just something that you have to go through. So really like her because of that. I thought she was going to be like popular, like pissy, like super stuck up, but I actually really, really like Kate a lot.
Definitely love this scene for Kate. Absolutely
agreed.
One little thing, obviously we know the props department is incredible here. I think the wardrobe department's really, really good as well. Just Marie, I mean, it could be a coincidence, but like her red dress and her red earrings with her blood power. I mean, her earrings did even look like drops of blood with the, you know, drop at the bottom, the big red drop at the bottom. So I just love the way that they make every superhero unique.
I mean, I guess we kind of were talking about the gala itself. Did we want to highlight any of the parents in particular? I mean,
I feel like Jordans are pretty cut and dry, not accepting of who he actually is. His dad wanted him to just take the male form the entire time.
Well, yeah, like the firstborn son aspect of it. And he keeps saying, you have a choice. You could be a boy if you wanted to. And we did kind of get in the first episode, Jordan at the club. He just kind of walked away, switched and came back. And they're like, oh, you swapped. Why? And he was like, because I felt like it. So, you know, maybe he really just does feel uncomfortable eventually in some and wants needs to switch or something like that. So very interesting.
You probably grow comfortable in the different skin, I guess, that they are.
I love Jordan as a character. The powers are so cool and interesting and unique. I think they're awesome.
If you had the ability to morph between both of them, both would feel like home to you. Like, you know what I mean? Like both would feel natural.
Yeah, even if you were born a male at some point, like just the fact that you're able to switch so often, it would just become natural. Absolutely. Jordan doubles down on that. They're like, I've always been me. It doesn't matter like what I look like or who I am. It's just always been me. This leads us to the really nice scene between all the girls, and then Andre comes in. Like they kind of all they all make peace. Yeah, they all make up, and it was really good seeing, because this felt like a kind of like an Avengers Assemble moment. Like we have our squad now together, and I feel like they're all forced now to help out Emma, who's stuck in the woods right now. But this felt like a great, like, okay, we got our squad, we know who we're hyped for, we know who we're rooting for, let's go.
It's worth mentioning that Marie had had a separate kind of negative interaction with each of them previously in this episode. Andre had reached out kind of for assistance with investigating Golden Boy. And she's like, honestly, man, you have your dad to back you up. I got nobody. And I'm sorry about your friend, but I can't blow my shot. A similar interaction with Kate, where she calls her out for not telling the truth in the interview. She's like, oh, yeah, shades of gray don't really sell like black and white. And Marie was just like, same thing. It's like, listen, you know, I'm sorry about your boyfriend and all, but I'm not trying to blow it with Vought. I do not have the leverage to go against the script and blow my shot. I think these are all valid points, which is what I was kind of saying to Dave. The reason she didn't lose a lot of points with me when she just followed the script in the interview, but bringing it full circle, I'm glad given those interactions earlier that they had this kind of reconciliation at the end here, got their ducks in a row. And also Kate's story about how she discovered her powers. She just told her brother to get lost and never come back.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Terrible.
Oh my God. And then her parents never like touched her ever again. That was just like the cherry on top for just sad backstory.
It's her parents' fault though at the same time.
Yeah, like it's so annoying that these parents like keep blaming their kids for this when it's just all their fault in the first place. Like at least wait till they're of an age where they would want to decide if they want the responsibility of having superpowers. I'm sure they would have said yes most of them would have said yes anyway, but the fact that they're just doing it as infants who like again it's just obviously it's an ethics thing, but that's part of the show.
Also really great to get Marie coming clean with the backstory of her parents. You know, she was lying this whole time to everybody saying like, oh, dad's still talking about it, all his pickup games. But she finally loses it and explains to Jordan and Kate, yeah, I killed my parents. It was a late bloomer and that's why I suck and I hate myself every day. So that was really cool. But, you know, it was great. We saw a little bit of Deep. It was only on the TV screen, but we saw him shouting out Brink.
Brink's made me the man I am today. I'm
intellectual.
I'm so smart. That was hilarious.
I miss Deep.
I know. I'm ready for the boys to get back.
I can't wait for it too, man. And then I guess this is the final scene, right, that we'll have.
Well, to jump back a little bit earlier, when Emma stormed out after talking to her mom, she went out to smoke a J, and Andre comes out and just puffs with her a little bit, gives a whole lowdown. Emma's totally in. I love Emma. She's like, all right, dude, whatever you say. You change your mind? I don't care. Yeah, sure, I'm in. I don't care. I'll do it. If you say, like, jump, how high? So Emma was in on it. She totally sneaks in. She's like on like the food cart and everything too. And there's like a drumstick that like it's totally burned. I'm like, what are they doing with this? It was just to open the food hatch. And keep it up, Betsy. So I don't know. I absolutely love this show.
When she's about to crawl
under the door, and she just looks back up at Andre. She's like, I don't even know, man. I'm still so high.
Yeah.
She's like taking on this mission. But no, the amount of character development, how they very quickly kind of forced Emma to confront her biggest secret being spilled to the entire campus, and then she turns around in next episode, embraces the Queen Maeve of it all when she is like offered this opportunity to do something genuinely heroic. That's the type of person she is. She's just been waiting for her shot to not be Little Cricket anymore and embrace the hero. So I love to see it for Emma.
Beautifully,
I mean,
said.
Another cliffhanger here. I don't know how she's gonna get out of it, but I love where this character's at.
Her and Sam's chemistry too. I mean, I love this conversation. They're back and forth. Even in the very beginning when she's terrified and he's like, are you real? You're a figment of my imagination. Here's a test. What's my favorite movie? She's like, you're a white guy, so Godfather, Star Wars, or Shawshank Redemption.
I was cracking up because I was like, she would have been right for me. Like, Shawshank's the top three. Yep. I'm a Star Wars guy. Come on.
Yeah. Of course.
Those are three great movies, we have to admit. Yeah. But you're right. The chemistry between them, it was so good. It was nice finally seeing Sam kind of like actually happy for once, you know, make a friend. And then Sam being able to fulfill her dream of wanting to be a hero, like B-Tom said. It was awesome. When Sam's getting tased and then he kind of like wakes up and then gets tased again, I was so pissed at that guard and I was so hyped. That cricket like flew into his ear and I was like, this is going to be gruesome, isn't it? And
I thought she was going to expand, like eat his earwax or something like that. And like expand that way.
Nah, they've already given us a death like that anyway. So they're not trying to repeat it.
That's true. And they even have that line, like she was doing all termite movies because she could shrink. And the one chick was like, dude, like we don't have to do that. Plus, I think he OD'd anyway. And I was like, yeah, that was because Butcher put him in a little Coke bag and shook him up. Like,
yep, OD'd.
God, the continuity's fucking great. And what else? Sam hitting on him a little bit. Is that what I was getting?
Yeah.
Pretty and all
he
that
said you're
stuff.
Pretty and fucking brave. I was like, all right, we're shipping these two. I'm in for this relationship 100%.
The only bad part of this whole Emma situation, I think, that she made was that she told Sam that his brother Luke sent her, which Sam doesn't know that Luke is dead. So it's like, oh my God, when that comes out, what is Sam going to do?
I was thinking that. But indirectly, it is the truth because Luke left the video for Andre to find and Andre then bequeathed her with this mission. But yes, no, that is going to be an uncomfortable conversation. Yeah. And taking a step back, I mean, Vault must know something about Sam, him just being insanely powerful if they're going to this lengths to like study him and keep him under wraps. So I'm excited to see what he's got going on.
I want to see his powers. I feel like he's like subtly hinted at it. Like obviously we've seen like him, the super strength and everything, but I think there's definitely something more. I feel like there was something, I didn't write it down in this conversation that he has with Emma, that kind of implies his powers a little bit.
My thing was, the whole thing was with Luke, he was hearing Sam whisper in the back of his mind and also giving him a vision of like himself in the woods, even though it was like a younger version of Sam, at least
like a Professor X kind of thing going on here, maybe.
Yeah, I was assuming that was Sam because that's what Luke thought it was. So I think there's a little bit of maybe
telepathy
psychic,
for sure.
Yeah.
And they keep referring to him like he was sent to, I guess, Red River originally because they thought he was crazy. But like, do you think he's actually going to be like schizophrenic? Like, I think that's obviously like a misdirection.
So as we know, the Boys universe pulls from actual comic book superheroes to kind of parody them or portray them. There is an X-Men villain named Legion, who I'm not 100% sure how his power works, but he's like one of the top tier X-Men. There's a word for it. It's like Sigma level X-Men. I don't think that's
you're right.
Sigma level mutant, but he is one
of
them.
Cyclops is one of them too. Yeah.
No, Cyclops is a bitch boy compared to these guys.
No, he's you're right. They're like S tier.
Iceman's X-Men. One.
Iceman's
yes,
one.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. Like Phoenix. Yeah.
Anyway, Legion is in this. Phoenix is another one, but Legion is in that class of superheroes and his powers kind of revolve around like super telepathy, but also he was
in a mental institute for exhibiting signs of schizophrenia, multiple personality disorder. So I'm thinking that Sam might be based loosely on this Legion character, and Jimmy Pa might be able to explain what Legion is more for us. Jimmy Pa was not able to be on this episode, but he should be rotating in as a host.
It's hard to say because I can't tell if he's like just a product of the environment. Like, it's just that he keeps getting tortured so much and he's now kind of forced to believe that he's crazy, or was he actually kind of like mentally ill back in the day and they actually were trying to help him out? That's just like one thing that I'm trying to look out for, I guess, in these upcoming episodes, is his original backstory, I guess.
I mean, maybe his power is actually fucking with his mind, and
I guess, yeah, schizophrenia, that you're actually right, like that just makes total sense. Like, they keep saying he has schizophrenia. It would make so much sense if it's not schizophrenia. He's just hearing the thoughts of others or communicating with others just mentally all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So, and really cool. And if that's a thing, no wonder God, what the fuck is the universe's name?
God You, baby. That's all I need. That's all God I remember. You. Yeah, God You. All
right, well, God You or Vought. No wonder they would want them, because to be able to go into somebody's mind and like read their thoughts, that would be huge for Vought to have in their back pocket. So yeah, it makes sense that he is a hot commodity.
I gotta read what Legion is. Legion is an Omega level mutant who has dissociative identity disorder. Fundamentally, he has the ability to alter reality and time in a cosmic scale at will, but due to his multiple personalities, in practice, his abilities vary depending on the dominant personality. Each alter has different powers enabled by David's subconscious manipulations of reality. The core personality does not generally manifest mutant abilities. So I'm wondering if his latent powers are being held under wraps, I guess, by his Sam personality right now, but also that is exhibiting in extreme schizophrenia, whatever.
Yeah, interesting.
I was thinking of Moon Knight, just because of the personalities. The only other thing I really wanted to touch on was Marie talking to Shetty, and Shetty's like, oh, thank you, you saved my ass. And he's like, what do you mean? She was like, oh, I mean, there was no money coming in, you weren't getting any donations, and now, you know, you helped me, like, thank God you were you and the media eat you up. And she has the line, like, saying sarcastically to Shetty, Marie is like, I'm glad I could be useful to you. And Shetty's like, oh my God, it's so useful. Excuse me real quick, I gotta go do this. So yeah. I'm hoping that relationship between Marie and Dean really does stop. It's like broken now, and going forward, Marie's going to want to distance herself for it. But that's kind of where, Marie ended up with Kate and Andre and Jordan. I'm hoping they try to go free Emma out. I don't know exactly what's going to go on, but yeah, huge cliffhanger here.
Like, you would think it'd be so easy for four Supes to kind of just run through the woods here. But again, that like ear contraption that they have is just, it balances the playing field so well in favor of like non-Supes. And I think it's a really good design here.
They got precautions.
Yeah.
Anything else on this episode before we do a little fave character segment? Just real quick, what is your favorite character so far that could be, you know, who are you most excited to see going forward, or who is just your favorite character in general? I'm going to go first so you guys can't take her. Emma. Damn. I fucking love nice. Emma, man. She is so funny. She's so good. She's always down to party, and you know, she's a good friend, even if she is taken for granted sometimes, especially by Marie. But they made up, so they're good now. They hugged on the toilet.
Yeah, they squashed that beef out. That was funny too. That scene
was good. Good friend scene.
I'll go. Yeah. Right,
no, I'm feel stuck. Like we I'm, want the same guy. You can
I'm
guess.
No, I'm actually stuck between two characters. Oh, so perfect. You might make my life easier.
I like a lot of characters, but my favorite is Andre. He is just
there you go,
oozing charisma whenever he's on the screen. And he seems like a good guy, a loyal friend. I don't make him lose points for hooking up with Kate after boy just kicked the bucket. But he did seem like a genuinely good friend to Golden Boy. I guess he loses the most points because he was the one that slit that woman's throat.
Yeah.
But I really like Andre. I think he's got a cool power. He has to deal with a very strict dad. I like Andre.
All right. You definitely made my life easier. So I will go with Jordan Lee. Love Jordan Lee. I fell in love with them when they were fighting off Golden Boy and actually kind of holding their own. I love me a strong character, and they obviously embody that. And even though they and Marie are button heads pretty often and consistently, I think Jordan Lee will be a good addition to the squad, even if feelings with Brinks might come into play a little bit. But I'll give it to Jordan Lee then.
They were number two behind Golden Boy before the whole fiasco. So they got to be up there.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All righty, Brian. Just with that outro on the fly.
That is a wrap for our first three episodes of Gen V. I think we all received it very positively and are all looking forward to covering it week by week. Of course, on the podcast, we should have Kyle joining us and Jimmy Pa rotating in as we go on. So you can look forward to that too. Like I said in the beginning, we are currently covering the Wheel of Time on our Binchtown TV feed. So check that out, binchtowntv.com. As all of our other shows, just, you know, feel free to browse and enjoy us.
Enjoy our presence.
Yeah, we're always there over at binchtowntv.com.
Over 400 episodes, I think we got now. Up to 410.
We must be approaching 500, it feels like, at this point, but yeah.
Probably. And just because I haven't done it in a while, I'm going by the book for this one. As always, if you like what you heard, give Binchtown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Visit us on binchtowntv.com and subscribe to our show on Spotify, YouTube, the Apple Podcast app, or wherever else you may find your podcast. Once again, we are Binchtown TV. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.